You're listening to the Driving Confidence Podcast for drivers who want to be calm and confident on the road. We will be sharing tips, stories, and advice to beat driving nerves and anxiety and build your driving confidence. Whether you are just starting out as a learner or have had your driving license for years, if you want to transform how you feel about driving, this podcast is for you. On today's episode, we're welcoming on Laura Johnson from Driving Test Success. And Laura is also a trainee driving instructor. So welcome, Laura.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Welcome, Laura. I'm pleased to meet you.
Yes, first time.
So, Laura, we had a little pre-chat, didn't we, before actually recording this episode. And we've talked about a couple of different things. We've talked about looking at things from a different perspective, how taking the perspective of a trainee driving instructor can just sort of show that actually everybody can experience nerves and anxiety. But we also talked about things from the other side of what you do, which is social media content and the sorts of things that learner drivers, anxious drivers might be looking at on social media and how maybe that can cause more problems than it can help. So could you tell us a bit more about that side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. So social media, especially for somebody like me, is a really great resource to complement your learner journey. You know, just like with everything, there are maybe some content creators out there that maybe can misinform. So it's always good to check with your driving instructor to make sure that the information that you're getting from social media is relevant and is actually going to help you. Lots of driving instructors these days recommend certain content creators because there is really good information out there. And the fact is, the younger generation does consume a lot of the things that they need on social media. That is just the world we live in. So it would be silly of us to say, don't use social media to support your learning journey. That's not realistic. So it's important to make sure that the stuff that you're getting is relevant and that your instructor agrees with it and supports that. The problem is that we can't control what the algorithm throws your way. So what I have been hearing a lot more of is anxiety levels in learners increase, and specifically around how other people on the roads are. So for example, rushing to pull out on a roundabout because you're worried that people behind you are going to get frustrated and impatient, the nerves around whether the person behind you is going to beep you, you know, even things like in 20 mile an hour zones. Sometimes other people don't believe that 20 miles an hour is the right speed. And so if you're going at the speed limit and someone behind you wants to get past, that anxiety of you're following the rules, but you feel like someone behind you is putting pressure on you. And the thing is, when you're consuming this stuff on social media, you probably think it happens all the time. And so that increases your like, oh, when am I going to get bipped? When is this going to happen to me? What if I'm too slow? What if? And that's actually really dangerous, because what that then puts you in a position of is you're then thinking about the decisions you're making, not in terms of how safe is it, not in terms of what is the risk here, but in terms of what is the impact of me taking my time and making sure that I'm safe going to have on somebody getting from A to B behind me. So I think it's a really important conversation to have. And my advice would be and is, and I, you know, I'd be really interested in your input from this as well, because I might be wrong. You, when you're learning to drive, you are learning with an instructor who is an expert. It's, trust me, a really difficult process to become a driving instructor, which is why I've failed a few times so far. You're with an expert. If they feel like you're taking too long, they're going to talk you through that to help you understand when it is appropriate to go. The people behind you and around you, so long as your behavior is safe, they don't matter in that instance. You need to make sure that you are judging the risk for yourself and for pedestrians and for other road users in terms of what you do next, not who's behind you and how long you're taking. That will get easier as time goes on. But our focus should never be on whether or not someone behind us or next to us or in front of us is getting frustrated, so long as we're behaving in a safe and confident way. So that's what I would say. But also just take your instructor's advice, take their lead. They're going to make sure that you're safe. You know, there's times when as you become more confident, there will be like a level of responsibility that you do have to take on. Otherwise, you're never going to get to a position where you're I hate the word test ready because I don't think being test ready means that you're going to be a confident and safe driver. And then the other thing I would say is and someone said this to me actually, and it's really changed how I view other drivers. You do not know what the person behind you is going through. So somebody it might feel a bit intimidating. You might feel like they're impatient. You might feel yourself getting wound up, but I think take a breath. You don't know where they're trying to get to. You don't know what they're trying to do. You don't know what the influence on their behavior is, and you can't control that. So instead of getting wound up with that person or, you know, getting a bit of road rage or letting it distract you from what's going on around or what you're doing, just remember, you don't know that person. You don't know what kind of day they're having. You must remain safe. Do everything you can. So for example, if you're in the middle lane on a busy road, on a motorway in your lesson, and you're overtaking a car on the inside and somebody's getting impatient with you, do what you can to safely get out of their way. But you don't know what's going on with them. You don't know their situation. They could be a really good person, but they could just be having a really, really bad day.
It was like my pen's on fire. I had to take notes there.
I do say a lot of words. It's a gift under curse.
I think it's brilliant. And that is exactly what I would say the majority of learners would feel like. They would feel like they're in the way. They shouldn't be there. They've not got the right to be on that road until they've passed their test, and everyone else is, you know, wants them off the road. That's probably what most learner drivers feel at least once in their learning journey. You make some great points there for people. I suppose for me, I'm a little bit different. You're sitting in that passenger chair. You can spot what that learner's going through. But what does that learner want to move away like? What does it look like? And it's not normally what they are doing. They want to move away when the gap's there. They want to move away when they know it's safe. And they want to move away so that they don't cause problems. That's what they want. And that's, if you know, if you ask them, what's the ideal situation here? That would be it. You know, they're not causing any problem. They just do it. And they could probably do that in most other situations, except roundabouts or hill starts. That's for some reason, it's just those two, or maybe more, but those are the sort of things that they feel. But it's trying to recognize, what do they want? I want to do this. Have we done that before? Yeah. Just replicate it. Just repeat what you've done there, here. Then they've got some sort of, rather than judging themselves against someone that's been driving a long time, they can then reflect back and go, well, I've done it there. Can I do it here? They're using themselves as a judgment rather than someone else.
I think that's a really good point. Use it, measuring themselves against themselves, because progress looks different in everybody.
Exactly. And if you think of a sportsman, if you are constantly judging yourself to a sprinter, but you're an 800 meter runner, you are never going to be as fast as him because he's just way too fast. He doesn't run your race, does he? You know, so it's that sort of thing. Judge yourself on yourself and what you've done to be able to move forward.
One of the very first things that popped in my head when you first started talking about it was this thing about what makes a good social media clip. And like you say, you can't control the algorithms. So what does your social media of choice pop in front of you? Well, none of those algorithms are going to pop up a video showing somebody doing a beautiful, safe, predictable drive where all of the drivers around them are all also doing safe, predictable drives and waving thank you and all of the normal stuff that happens on a drive. That's sort of, I know you hate that phrase, test ready, but do you know what? The videos of everybody driving in the way that they would pass their test with no drama, that's not going to make the algorithm happen, is it? It's just not.
Because it's boring.
It's boring.
Yeah, I literally had this conversation with some driving instructors. I think it's different. It is different in a profession where there is actually a quite a high level of responsibility when it comes to being a driving instructor, because you're setting somebody up for how they're going to drive potentially and hopefully for forever. I think more than in some other industries, yeah, the algorithm won't like it, But clickbait, which I'm sure your listeners will be familiar with, clickbait and ragebait, they're the things we like to see. Generation below mine are people who have actively gone into a world where they now consume content passively. So in the past, people would go to social media for community, for engagement, for healthy debate. Now, we've got an attention span of 7 seconds. We're scrolling all day. And if something hasn't caught our attention within the first 3 seconds, we scroll up. And the other thing is that a lot of content creators, that's their predominant income. That's how they make their money. And so they actually have to create content that people are going to come back to and that's going to keep people sticking around. So that's something to bear in mind when you come across clickbaity driving content. But there is a lot out there where it's done with integrity. And I think that's super important in our industry to do it with integrity. And I think there are some really great content creators out there. As a learner, are you going to know which one that is? Are you going to... I don't really like using this as a reference, but it's the only thing I can really use to kind of simplify it. So you have 3 driving instructors who create content. You have one that tells you that you should be holding the steering wheel at 10 and 2, and these are the reasons why. One that tells you that it doesn't matter, you can hold it with one hand, you can cross your arms, you can do what you want, it doesn't matter. And one that tells you that probably the best way to maintain control is to, as much as you can, use 2 hands and keep them in this position. But if you have to cross your arms and you still do it in a manner that keeps you in control of the vehicle, and you have to be able to use one hand sometimes because you've got to change gear. So you've got like the 3 different approaches. If you're looking at all 3 of those and you're a novice, because that's what learner drivers are at the beginning, they're novices, how do you actually know which one of those is correct? So that's why it's so important to kind of use social media alongside your instructor, because that person, the instructor, I don't know, I would personally say that the middle ground is probably the best one to look at, because you don't want to terrify them into clutching the steering wheel like they can't move. But you also don't want to encourage somebody to have their chair right back, the window down, a cigarette in their hand, driving like haven't got a care in the world, or driving like what you see on the movies. So yes, you're not going to see that on your algorithm as much, but that's probably why it's so important to challenge things and also to find content creators that actually do have integrity and that you can relate to, and choose that as the person that you watch. Make your own decision about who you want to view and whose content you want to consume. But alongside your instructor, choose that person, and that's the person you follow, that's the person you watch, that's your reference point.
Yeah, I think that using your driving instructor as a sounding board, as a fact checking, okay, does this stuff look okay? And not trying to look at too many variations, because that's when your doubt and your uncertainty creeps in. Mm-hmm. So our brains hate doubt, our brains hate uncertainty. And actually, when we're a novice, when we're learning something new, like you say, you know, we don't know it. How do we know what's right, what's wrong? So at that point, we're not really looking for variety. We're looking for a bit of black and white. Mm-hmm. We're looking for what's right, what's wrong. So try not to go for too much variety right at the beginning as a learner. Mm-hmm. And then maybe as you're building your skills, building your confidence, you could add in a bit more variety on your consumption as a sort of fact gathering, or but make sure you're fact checking it and always bear that in mind. Has the creator, what's their intention? Is it to inform you, or is it to earn a living? Is it, and that's not to say that earning a living through social media is a problem. It absolutely isn't. But is it there to give you the best possible advice? And lots of things in driving are not black and white. They're just not. There's all sorts of exceptions to the rule, isn't there?
You're both looking at me as to say, what are the exceptions to the rules now, aren't you? This is but I take the driving, the steering, you mentioned steering already. Is there another way you could use social media potentially? And this is where you've got to try and keep it safe and everything else that goes with this. But steering two-handed is safe for many different reasons. I won't go into them because it takes too long. But let's try that. Let's try and steer two-handed. But then I also want you to try the other version where you try one-handed. You do that. Let's try that.
In a safe environment.
Obviously. But this is where you can have some fun. You know, and this is, for me, is all about the learning environment. If you can have some fun, you can try these systems out, and then what do they like about the first one? What do they like about the second one? Which one would be safer? If you had your parents in the car, which one would you be driving like? So all of these sort of things come into play, which it teaches them to choose, make the right choices for them.
Mm.
You know, if they chose the third one, where it's like leaning back, okay, but when would that become a danger?
Mm.
When would you need to change the way that you're driving, and what's the reasons behind that? And then you're looking at the person more. And I think it's social media is brilliant if we use it for what's intended for us as teachers.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's actually nothing more satisfying than seeing something on social media that you're not an expert in, but thinking that's not right. And then going to the expert, AKA the driving instructor, and being like, I saw this video and A, B, and C were said. And I know that's not right because when we did it, we had this conversation. Or because you actually, that's kind of a way to like reinforce the fact that you've learned and that you've shown progress and that your knowledge bank is bigger. It's, I mean, I still do it. So I know a lot of driving instructors, and obviously I'm training to be a driving instructor and still very much in the novice phase. So when something comes up on social media, I go to one of the people that's helped me train and I'm like, oh my God, I saw this thing and this is why I think this is wrong, or this is why I think this is a bad message. And when she's like, yeah, you're so right, I feel very, feel very smug. And actually, that's quite a nice feeling. And it's a nice feeling when you're learning a new skill to have that, to be able to demonstrate that you've got that insight. So, you know, having conversations about the social media that you see, because also it can kind of minimize a little bit as well any negative feelings that you're getting from the content that you're viewing, because your instructor is the person that you've entrusted with your time and money to learn with. And if you go to them with anxiety around something that you've seen on social media, they can help you kind of work through that and pull out the points that are important and just put to the side stuff that is just noise.
There's an old phrase, and this is where I'm showing my age now. And the phrase was, it's good to talk. If you're seeing it in social media, but you don't ask or you don't talk about it, you'll always believe that. You won't have that different perspective. You know, 9 times out of 10, I don't really tell people that's right or wrong. Okay, but what do you think? And I actually believe that, like you just said, you know, and it's I think if we can do more of that, it's good to talk about what you found. And I think it's brilliant because it means you're doing homework.
Yeah,
and people
absolutely.
they hate homework. If I sent them homework, they go, nah, can you go and watch a video? Yeah, watch a video.
Mm.
You know, you've just made it simpler.
And it's that thing of taking your knowledge and turning that knowledge into understanding.
Absolutely.
And it's the understanding why you do certain things in certain situations at certain times. It's that understanding that gives you the feeling of certainty. And that feeling of certainty in turn will inform your decisions. It will change your predictions about what to do next. And it just gives you a more trust in your driving ability.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've mentioned a couple of times there about being a trainee driving instructor. And when we first talked, you were saying about that, what it's like to go from being a driver with experience, because you can't go straight from passing your driving test into becoming a driving instructor. So an experienced driver who then has to go back to learning new skills and being a novice again. What was that like?
Well, first of all, when I passed my driving test, I was about 24. And I remember saying, thank the universe that I never have to go through this again, only to 10 years later actively put myself in that position again. I think that's absolutely hilarious because I hated my driving test. I am somebody who suffers with, it's not nerves. What I suffer with is fear of judgment. And I wonder whether there's a crossover here with some students, maybe what they think they feel is nerve, but actually they just don't want to look silly because that's not a thing. But the theory I found quite easy, but I think that being an experienced driver, I don't think people realize how much they use their theory in day-to-day driving. So I studied really hard and it paid off and I passed. Just very briefly, to become a driving instructor, there's three tests. There's a theory test, there's like a higher level driving test, which is slightly longer than a class B test, is what we say, a normal learner test. And then there's a test where you are examined on your actual ability to conduct a driving lesson. I failed my part two, so I failed my higher level driver test 3 times. And every single time, looking back, because, you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing, the issue was that I was so terrified of failing and looking silly and being judged by the person in the passenger seat that I then failed. Because you only get three attempts each time you do the process. You only get three attempts. The second attempt that I took, when we got back into the parking lot, the examiner said that was like a bad B category driving test. Because I was so, so nervous. And I was shaking. I couldn't regulate my breathing. I couldn't think straight. And then everything just went wrong. And I actually failed while still in the parking lot of the driving test because I did a reverse bay park, which, by the way, I'm really good at. And I was on the line. So even before I'd left the test center, I'd failed. But looking back on it, it was because, and it's still an issue that I have this fear of looking silly in front of other people, which is ironic because I work in social media and look silly for a living. But for whatever reason, in that personal environment, I really, really struggle. And I still struggle to this day, to the point where I passed my part two the second time round. And then I was so scared of being judged on my ability to conduct a driving lesson that I just didn't book my part three. And then my time ran out. Yeah. So,
and I'm sure you're not alone on that.
No, because it's easier to not do it than it is to actually face it. And there's this, I read a book years ago, which is something that I know I suffer with. And it is the fear of failure becomes so intense that you actually don't try hard enough. Because if you don't try hard enough and then fail, you can say, well, I know I failed because I know I didn't put everything into it. Whereas if you put everything into it and do fail, it feels like a personal thing. And I think probably people can relate to that. To that quite heavily.
Yeah, it's like a safety mechanism, mm-hmm. isn't it? If I don't try too hard, then I'm not that bothered. If I pass, amazing. Yeah. But if I fail, at least I've got a good excuse.
Yeah.
I can sort of say, I didn't apply for it in that case. But, you know, in other cases, I didn't try that hard. I wasn't that bothered. So maybe I'll do better next time if mm-hmm. I put in a bit more effort. It's just a great excuse, isn't it?
Well, it's actually one of the most, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I remember listen to a conversation, and somebody was saying that it's one of the most vulnerable things you can possibly do in life is admit that you want something that you haven't got yet. And I think there's work around that. Like as a driving instructor, when I finally qualify, which I will, I know that I will be somebody who celebrates someone's commitment to the journey, because actually admitting and going for something is hugely vulnerable. It's very, very brave. And that needs to be celebrated, because the much easier thing to do is to not.
Yeah, it's so interesting, the self-sabotage type thing. And it is just that we're trying to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. And actually, lots of parents do it as well. So parents will often say to their children, oh, don't worry, it doesn't matter if you fail, we'll try again. Or maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should think about doing X, Y, Z instead, because it's easier. Or so constantly trying to do this protection thing. So we try and protect ourselves, we try and protect our loved ones, and in doing that we don't allow people to do that thing that's challenging, that thing that might actually feel amazing and really make a change for somebody. And we ridicule people who do try hard. As a society, certainly at school, there's all sorts of names and things that jump into my head when somebody tries hard. I mean, even calling somebody a tryhard, you know, there's a whole societal element where we ridicule people who put in effort because it makes us look bad if we haven't. But coming back to that judgment, yeah, it's a really uncomfortable experience, isn't it, to have somebody judge our ability.
I suppose for me, this is me personally, I'm being judged all the time mm-hmm. through what I do. There is just, you know, I can't get away from it. My role is teaching people to become, you know, learners, to pass their test and to carry on driving safely. I train driving instructors or people to become driving instructors. I train driving instructors to become better. Part of that is people are always judging me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm constantly being judged in what I do and how I do it. And I've just almost become immune to it. So if I go for a test, whatever test it be, this person always says, I know I've prepared for it, but I also accept the outcome. If I've prepared enough, this is me, and this is, doesn't go to everybody, but this is my way around it. I will prepare as much as I can and do my best. And that for me is as much as I can do. I can't do any more than that. And whatever happens, happens. But going for someone that's wants a driving test, and I suppose for me, with especially with learners, when people learn to drive and they have this fear of being judged, sometimes it's their friends, sometimes it can be the examiner, is finding out what's their motivation. So if you can look at it slightly differently and, you know, what's the reason people started learning to drive? And if someone says to me, well, I want to pass a driving test, that's not their motivation. Their motivation goes past that. But their motivation is to have freedom. Their motivation is to do something or get something that means a lot to them. Like yourself, your motivation is to become a driving instructor. Mm-hmm. It's not to pass tests, but it's what does that driving instructor mean to you? What does it give you? So if we can look at the motivation, then we're looking at probably something that we can use to help in those situations. This is the other thing that just came into my head. So let's look at the test itself and feeling judged. How many times do we do a driving test? Well, probably just once, maybe twice, you know, three times, whatever it may be. How many times have we practiced for that driving test? Probably not many. And people say, do mock tests, do this, do this. How many times do people practice the driving test? Not many. In my years of doing this, people don't practice to drive a test. They practice to drive. Let's go back a little bit further. And we talked earlier about heel starts and roundabouts with people behind them. How many times do people practice heel starts? And they probably do it once, twice, three times, four times maybe. But what they do is they've also just moved away. And if you think of a heel start, it's just a move away in a different situation. But when they're doing a heel start, they feel they're judged by the car behind them. And how many times have they been in that situation? And most driving instructors won't put people in that situation. But you can create scenarios for those people. And what I mean by that is you can do a heel start in a quiet area, but you can say, there's a car behind me. There's a car behind me. There's a car behind me. Because that's what the fault is at those junctions or roundabouts. How would you like to move away? I'm just going to move away so that you create your own words for it. What you're doing is you're taking away the feeling of being judged from someone else and you concentrate on you. And you can phrase it slightly differently by saying, I'm just being kind to myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this so that whatever happens, I'm in control of what's going to happen, whether it's moving away smoothly or judging the gap or telling people behind me how I drive in a certain way. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to be a bit selfish and I'm just going to plan my journey and try and create the best situation. I think I've gone a long way round, but come back to it.
No, but I think, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's a really, really important thing, is to remember to be kind to yourself and actually do what you think is right and safe and go from there. Yeah. But there is, people do put a lot of pressure on themselves, I think, to pass their driving test. And there's that whole, like, I'm not telling anyone because if I fail, then I have to tell them I failed. Actually, I also think we should tell people that. You know, I think there's something very cathartic about being able to say, I failed. These were my failing points. And not just to your instructor who's going to help you analyze it or going to be very sort of professional about it, but to go to your mum or your brother or sister or friend and say, I failed and this is what I failed on and this is how I feel about that. And to maybe then find a way to pull the positives out. Like, there is a lot to be said for failing your first driving test because then you know what a driving test feels like. So, but having that conversation is... Go on.
Well, no.
Oh,
sorry, I had to say that. I had
you
to
don't
say that.
belong here.
But I've had the most crashes.
Yes, you've
I've
had
had the most crashes.
You've had a few incidents, haven't you?
Three. I've had three.
Yeah.
So many have forgotten.
The thing for me, when we look at that, you mentioned the word pressure. As soon as you have a test situation, as soon as you have somebody who's going to give you a pass or a fail, as soon as you're in a situation with a test where there's going to be judgment of some sort, it creates pressure. Now, what's interesting for me is that the sorts of pressure it creates is that fear of judgment, fear of failure. And very often that fear of failure is more to do with having to tell other people, like you said, I don't want to tell friends or family. And it's not that you don't want to tell them. It's their reaction that you're scared of. So it's how they're going to respond to that and whether that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. There's also that pressure of the fear of success. Are you actually ready for that promotion? Thinking of the episode we did a couple of weeks ago with Charlotte, where she talked about fear of success. Do I actually feel ready for that promotion into becoming a driver on my own? Or in the case of being a trainee driving instructor, a PDI, am I ready for the promotion into being a fully fledged driving instructor? So that fear of success. But all of these things that add into that pressure, they're all red herrings. None of them are actually to do with your ability to drive. So pressure here has nothing to do with your driving. So actually, it's incredibly frustrating if those are the things that are causing you to have negative thoughts, to start to feel nervous or anxious. It's not your driving that's causing that. It's your thoughts and your thinking and your mindset. Nothing to do with your driving ability. And just having a handle on that, being able to notice that and go, hang on a minute, should we come back to the driving, which sort of comes back into what you were saying there, Kev, about fear of judgment of other people, comes back to, what do I want? Talk myself through my driving. How do I want my driving to be? So not think about what you don't want, think about what you do want and focus on that. And if you need to, talk yourself through it so that you don't get caught up in those, oh, they're going to beat me, or oh, they're going to judge me and fail me, or oh, my mum's going to say this, or whatever it is.
That's a really, really good point. And I was just thinking, while you were saying that, I was referencing it back to my own experience and that whole, like, being in that situation in my driving test that I failed, and actually thinking, oh, I wish I had that view. I wish I was able to actually go back there to those moments, because I've passed my part two since, but I wish in those moments where I really felt like I was unable to control my physical symptoms of my nerves and where my brain was going and the things I was missing, to just go, you know, you can do this. Because also I found it so ridiculous. I've been driving for many years and, you know, we do pick up bad habits. But I was like, it's a driving test. How have I failed a driving test? It's not that straightforward. It does take preparation. But I was like layering it in, like, yeah, but you can drive. So why are you so bad at this? So you're automatically heading into it with a bad, oh, but you've only got one attempt left. Oh, but it's in an area I don't know. Oh, it's just after Christmas. Oh, the instructor looks like he's grumpy. And then I'm sitting in the car and all these things going around my head. And then I keep going, you're in a drive. You know how to drive. Why are you being so ridiculous? Then I'm berating myself because I know. But actually being able to take a breath and go, why don't we just put all that to one side and focus on what we're doing and do our best. I'm talking to myself as if there's more than one of me. Thank heavens there isn't. But it's that being able to recenter yourself and just remind yourself, what, none of this actually matters. You're in this situation now. You're not gonna do a drop roll and out you go halfway through the test. So why not do your best and forget the other stuff, because none of it matters. It's easier said than done, but I think actually having that in your head
Now, actually, talking to yourself as if you are separate people, you know, that's a distancing technique. So when you actually add your name into it as well, so listening back to what you were saying then, you were berating yourself and you were saying it in a particular tone of voice and going, oh, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And potentially, if you think back to, oh, whose voice is that? You may be able to track back and go, oh, I know who that sounds like. And it may be somebody in your past who has spoken to you in that way. And that's a really interesting thing to do. Yeah. So whose voice is that? Whose tone of voice is that? Because it's not Laura being kind to Laura. That's actually a part of you that you've learned that from your past. Noticing that and going, that's not kind, Laura. Okay, so how would I talk to a friend? Use that. Talking to yourself and using your name. So, right, come on, Laura. That's a thought, not a fact. Let's get back with the facts, Laura. Come on, Laura, you can do this. You know you can do it. So using your name to yourself and then talking yourself through something is a really great distancing technique. And definitely when you're being unkind, suddenly going, oh, hang on a minute. Whose voice is that? Whose tone is that? That's not kind, Laura. Right, that's a thought. That's not a fact. Let's bring in cheerleader Laura, please. Right, come on then. And your cheerleader Laura will say this. And use your name, talk to yourself, and stay with the facts. Mm-hmm. Stay with what you want and talk that through to yourself. So just recognizing when those thoughts come in. Another one that Kev uses is, are they helpful? Are they helpful thoughts? Are they going to help me towards my goal? No. Okay, snap out of that. What thoughts are going to help me towards my goal? So it's very much the, as soon as you catch yourself, notice it, pause. You can even say stop to interrupt thoughts and then go, right, let's reset.
You know what, Tracy? That is probably one of the best pieces of advice I've ever been given, because you can apply that to every single element of life. I say this to my friends, and we're going off topic here, so delete if unnecessary, but I say this to my friends all the time. So I'm incredibly lucky that I have a relatively high opinion of myself generally, and I've worked very, very hard to have that. It's not come naturally, but I do, and I think that's, and I feel very privileged. My friends often say to me, like, I wish I had your confidence. Like, when I look in the mirror, I hate what I see. When I do this, I hate it. Why can't I be skinnier and younger looking and prettier and better and more intelligent? And I always say to them, what would you say to me if I said that about myself? So why can't you show up for yourself in the same way that I show up for you and that you show up for me and vice versa? And I probably haven't realized until you've put it that way, but I very much realized that I definitely started doing that, and it's completely changed. It's changed my life. When I started being kinder to myself and not allowing the negative and intrusive thoughts to creep in, it's literally opened doors for me that I wouldn't have ever imagined. And so you can literally apply that to every element of life. Just that whole, are the things that you're saying to yourself actually helpful? Are they kind? Are they going to put you in a better position? If not, change how you speak. And so many people don't do that, because we're in a world where we're pressured to look a certain way and have a certain amount of money and live a certain lifestyle. And if you're not, you automatically blame yourself for that.
And that's social media.
Brings us right back around, full circle, doesn't it, to what we said right at the beginning, social media. And is what you're consuming creating more anxiety? Mm-hmm. Are you comparing yourself against others, or are you worrying about things that might happen but probably won't?
Exactly that. Exactly. And, you know, there has been a change in how, there has been a very small regression in how, in a good way, in how we consume social media because of AI, and because it's very, very salesy on social media now. People have started looking for that connection again, which I think is a really, really positive thing. Podcasts like this are becoming more popular because people are looking for that sense of community again, where we've lost that sort of over the course of COVID and beyond. So hopefully that kind of thing will be easier, because it's horrible. It's horrible. And, you know, I know that a lot of your audience are younger probably than me, young people, and this might be the first experience they have of that that nerves and that anxiety around whether or not they're going to be successful at something. But I'm pretty sure they've already experienced comparing themselves to others and on social media or living through social media. And I think having the ability to go, well, actually, hang on a minute. Here are all the wonderful things about who I am and what I do and what a lovely thing to be able to do. And then to be able to carry that into their driving lessons and driving tests. I think that's a really key way of surviving.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I think that's it's you're surviving, but doing it in a way that suits you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Not someone else telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. And how to do it. Mm-hmm. You create your own outcomes.
Oh, I love how we've gone full circle around all sorts of things. So we've done social media, but we've also talked about the fact that actually, even as an experienced driver, it's normal when you're back to learning new skills, when you're going back to being a beginner, it's normal to feel anxiety again. And then that whole thing about how do we talk to ourselves? How do we deal with the pressures of a test situation? And then coming all back round to social media again. So I love it. I think that's been great.
Yeah. Really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about, Laura? Is there anything that you thought, oh, I wanted to talk about this?
No, I think that's been really, I think this conversation's been really lovely and so helpful to me. So helpful to me. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. One of the other things is that, of course, we're going to be working with Driving Test Success more next year in 2026. So people will be able to see a bit more of a crossover with our content, which we're all very excited about.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you on board. I think it's going to be a really great partnership. And also, I think that where we're working together, so you're going to be doing some content for us across the apps, but also in the Learn to Drive Hub, which is an avenue for practical driving videos. So I think that's a really good thing, because that then you're getting your resources from industry experts, and sometimes the element of the social media that we talked about comes out of it, because you know that it's a trusted resource, and then your content's going to be in there as well. So that, I think that's going to be a really great tool, and I'm really excited to have you on board in that.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And that's got a partner app for driving instructors as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we have an app called the ADI Hub, where your driving instructor can actually connect to your 4-in-1 and your Learn to Drive Hub, and they can send you messages. They can recommend videos, which I think is a great element. Help you with your theory. If there's elements you're struggling with, you can talk to them through the app. And we've got so much else coming. So if you use the 4-in-1 or you're interested in using the 4-in-1, speak to your instructor to see if they've got the ADI Hub. It's a really great way to collaborate with them. And that's really important collaboration, I think.
So how do people find out about all of that, Laura?
The best way to find out about us is on our social media, ironically. We are Driving Test Success on TikTok. We also have TikTok platforms called Learn to Drive Hub and also ADI Hub. So if you just put it in the search bar, you will find us. And the likelihood is you might already be following us, but by all means. And if you need anything, our DMs are open. We're a really small team, so we read all of our messages.
Laura, thank you for your time this afternoon. It's been great.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really, really lovely. I've really enjoyed it.
Good. And it's a pleasure to meet you at last.
I'm just going to jump in here to let you know about our Drive Calm Journal. We've created a 12-week prompt journal to support our listeners to take action and improve driving confidence. The journal includes questions, prompts, and exercises to create an action plan and an opportunity for reflection afterwards. Search Drive Calm on Amazon to take a look. We hope it helps. Thank you for listening. Find out about the different ways that you can work with us on our website, www.confidentdrivers.co.uk, and begin to transform the way you feel about driving.